Our scripture passage this morning is Psalm 107. We'll be reading the whole psalm. It's a little long, so would you stand this morning in body or in spirit as we listen to this psalm? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in the desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and for his wonderful deeds for all mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathe all food and draw near the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their troubles, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for all mankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. Some went out on ships to the sea, and there were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest. They lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their perils, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when they grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. He turned rivers into desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground, the fruitful land into salt waste because of the wicked of those who live there. He turned the deserts into pools of water and parched ground into flowing springs. There he brought the hungry to live, and there they founded a city where they could settle. They sowed fields and planted vineyards that yielded a fruitful harvest. He blessed them, and their numbers greatly increased, and he did not let their herds diminish. Then their numbers decreased, and they were humbled by oppression, calamity, and sorrow. He who pours contempt on nobles made them wander in tactless waste. But he lifted the needy out of their affliction and increased their families like flocks. The upright see and rejoice, but all the wicked shut their mouths. Let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Yesterday, I was listening to an interesting podcast about the history of Thanksgiving and kind of why we have it on the fourth Thursday of November. And how that date kind of switched around for a bit in history. I guess it goes that the tradition of Thanksgiving in itself goes back further than what we would think of the first Thanksgiving. It wasn't the pilgrims that started that tradition with the native people. It actually goes back to when ships would make their trip across the Atlantic. When they made it to dry land, they would spend some time giving thanks for the good voyage they had across. And you can trace back, I guess, a few different places where this happens, in the West Indies and up in Maine, and some of those settlements that happened in the 1500s and 1600s. And it was during the time of the Revolutionary War that the Continental Congress got together and said that we should have a day of thanksgiving for God and for what he's done for us here in this Revolutionary War and for the battles that we've won so far. So they set aside a time in November to do that. It wasn't the fourth Thursday of the month at that point. And after that, it kind of became a tradition that the Continental Congress, and then once the president was in place, would prescribe a day at some point in November to give thanks for what God has given them throughout the year. It wasn't until Franklin Delano Roosevelt that we decided as a nation that we didn't like November switching days throughout November. I guess the story goes that Franklin Delano Roosevelt wanted to have Thanksgiving a little bit earlier in the month to kind of help us get out of the Great Depression and kind of give businesses a little bit bigger holiday season there. The problem was, though, he didn't announce that he was going to change the date of Thanksgiving until all the calendars had been made for that year and for the following year. So he had quite a bit of pushback from the calendar makers, and states at that point could kind of pick their own Thanksgiving as well. So then if you lived kind of on an edge of two states, or maybe you had family in one state and you were in another state, that state might celebrate Thanksgiving and have the day off on a different Thursday than you would have. And it also kind of messed up the football games that were being played. And you could see how the nation wasn't very happy with Roosevelt for these decisions. So then Congress, in one of their few times of getting together and picking things out, got together and said, we're going to do it on the fourth Thursday of the month. We're going to come together. That'll be our Thanksgiving. It'll be nationwide now. And we've had that since the 30s. Maybe you remember, if you're young enough, a time before it was the fourth Thursday of the month. But it's that time when we come together with families. We gather around a table, usually with turkey and stuffing or dressing, depending on what you call it, and mashed potatoes and green bean casserole and all those traditional dishes. And we reflect on what we're thankful for, or at least my hope is that at some point this week, we reflect on all those things that God has given to you. In my family, one of our traditions as I was growing up is we'd have three kernels of corn that were on our plates, and when we sat down at the Thanksgiving table after everything had been prepared, after the turkey had been cut, all of the good dishes there on the table, mouth watering because you could smell it, and we sat down. My dad would often give the prayer. Then we'd have those three kernels of corn there. My mom would have us go around the table, and for each one of those kernels, we'd have to say something that we were thankful for. I remember as a young kid, I'd always kind of dread that time. I'd probably pick something that I could see right then, so I'd be thankful for the turkey or for the stuffing, whatever my favorite dish was at that point in life, or maybe the toy I was playing with right before that, I would say I was thankful for that, or kind of those general things that we always give thanks for, our family, our houses, our clothes, all of those good things. But as we grow older, we maybe reflect a little bit more on what we're thankful for, and we realize that, yes, a warm house is something to be thankful for, our family is something to be thankful for, our friends are something to be thankful for, but sometimes it can be the things that aren't as tangible that we give thanks for. Maybe as we grow older, we give our thanks for the health that we had this past year. Maybe we're thankful for those relationships that improved over the last year. But Thanksgiving isn't something that seems to come naturally to us. As kids, as babies, it's not a natural thing that we have to be thankful. A baby will cry, you give her the bottle. It's not like they say thank you afterwards. They probably go on to the next thing or cry about whatever they want next. And there's not a whole lot of thanks there. It's something that we have to teach our children, that as they grow older, you teach them their manners to say please and thank you, and to show some of that gratitude for what people have done around them. Or when they receive that gift on their birthday or Christmas, you teach them to write that thank you card afterwards to try and teach them some gratitude. And you hope that they'll carry that on in life as they grow older. And studies actually show us that learning gratitude is an important skill in life. Studies show that gratitude, or people who are grateful individuals, are more happy, are more resilient in life, and strong, and form stronger bonds with those around them. You can probably kind of know why they might form those stronger bonds with people around them. You kind of like to gravitate towards those who you feel appreciated by, or those who are grateful for your presence and their presence. And gratitude is also one of those things that is a bit contagious, that if you're around someone who's grateful for the things that they have and thankful for all that they see around them, you begin to think a bit more about being grateful for friends, for family, for health, for all those things. In our psalm this morning, Psalm 107, it's a hymn of Thanksgiving. Often the psalms were sung, and this one was a song of thanksgiving to God for what he has done throughout history for all of mankind. And in this psalm that we are looking at today, it kind of goes through four movements that are pretty similar. The first verse in Psalm 107 says this: give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he has redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from that lands, from east and west, from north and south. So in the beginning of this hymn, this song, it's telling the people to give thanks to the Lord because he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed tell their story of what God has done for them. And then there's four sections in the psalm that give four different groups of people who all can give their thanks for God because he has redeemed them, that because he has drawn them in from east and west and north and south, into his grace and into his goodness, into his love. The first group of people that we can find here is those who wander in verses 4 through 9. But those who wandered in the desert wastelands, finding no city where they could settle. Hunger and thirst, their life ebbed away. As we dig into each one of these, we'll see a pattern that emerges. We see it first here with those who wander, that they're wandering in the wastelands, the deserts. They have nowhere to settle, no city to take rest and respite in. So what do? It says they cry out to the Lord. When they cry out to the Lord, he delivers them, brings them into his presence. And we hear the wonderful refrain that we get four times in this psalm. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for all mankind. Then right after that refrain that we hear four times, it tells each group why they should be thanking God. For those who wandered, for those who were thirsty, for those who couldn't find rest and respite, he says, for God satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. So the first group, the wanderers, God brings into his presence. They're filled with those good things. He satisfies their hunger and thirst. So give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and for his wonderful deeds for all mankind. Then the second group we have here is those who are imprisoned. Those who sat in darkness, those in utter darkness, the prisoners who suffered in their chains. They had no other way to free themselves, so they call out to the Lord, and he rescues them. You see this pattern of those people who can't get out of the situation that they find themselves in, those who wander, those who are imprisoned. They cry out to God, and in his faithfulness and his goodness and his love and his mercy, he rescues them, brings them into his presence, and then they offer up thanksgiving. Give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds. This time, because God breaks down the gates of bronze and cuts through the bars of iron. The third we see is those who are sick and afflicted. Those who are sick and afflicted. They cried out to the Lord in their troubles. He saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them. So verse 21, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for all mankind. Also in response, let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. Then the final group that we see here are those who are tossed and turned on the waters. This group talks about merchants, sailors who go out on the oceans, who see God's mighty acts of power on the waters. Storms come, the ships are tossed. They call out for God, for his mercy, for his grace. And he responds by calming the waters and allowing them safe passage on the waters. We hear that refrain again. Give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love, for his deeds for all mankind. This psalm, we see a pattern emerging. There's these people who are in need, who can't get themselves out of the situation they are in and of themselves. All they can do is cry out to God in repentance. And God responds each time by rescuing them, by bringing them back into his presence, by giving them all that they lacked before. In response, we see gratitude. We see thanksgiving. people lift up their voices in praise and give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love, for all his deeds that he's done for mankind. Gratitude is first and foremost what we as Christians can do in response for all that God has done for us. We can probably place ourselves in one of these four stories that we hear about how God has rescued his people and brought them into his presence. Maybe we can remember other stories of God calming the waters. In the Gospels, we hear Jesus was out with the disciples as they were on the Sea of Galilee, and a storm picked up, and the disciples didn't know if their little boat was going to survive this storm. And we hear Jesus is sleeping, taking a nap, and you got to wake him up and ask him to calm the storm. And he calms the storm, brings them to shore, and gives them safe passage. Jesus, later on in his ministry, would go to the cross to calm the storm of the sin and brokenness in our life, that we who wandered on our own paths, in our own sin, in our own brokenness, when we cry out to God, we're brought into his presence, just as we hear these people in Psalm 107 being brought into God's presence, because we have been redeemed through Christ Jesus and his work on the cross. The psalm also teaches us not only gratitude, but it teaches us that testimony can be a way of giving thanks for all that God has done. That these people throughout this psalm were telling the story about what God had done for them and how they might be able to offer thanks up for all that he's done for them. That God saved them, that he brought them into his presence. That's exactly what God does for each one of us when we come to faith in Jesus. He gathers us from east and west, from north and south, into his presence, to his goodness, into his unfailing love. We each have a testimony. It may not be that we were being tossed out on the waters like these merchants, or that we were wanderers in the wasteland with no home to find safety in. But we all have a story about how God has redeemed and saved each one of us. Our story may be simple, that we grew up in the church, we've known God our whole lives, and he's kept us from falling into sin and temptation in any great manner of way. But that's still a story of God's faithfulness throughout the generations, that our parents taught us the faith. We can teach our kids the faith, and we see God's faithfulness throughout that. We can give thanks that God has saved us. God has brought us into his presence, and we can thank him for that. As Christians, gratitude is our first response for what God has done for us. It's a response that continues on for the rest of our life. And we can show our gratitude in many different ways. And in this psalm, first and foremost, it's taught that, well, we should tell our testimony about what God has done for us and how we can offer ourselves back up in gratitude for him. So as we've done the past few weeks, I'm going to have you break into groups for the last 5 minutes or so. And I've got two questions that I want you to reflect on in those groups. First question is, how can you see God's hand at work in your life? Second is, how can you give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and for his wonderful deeds? So let's break into groups and talk about those two questions. Where can you see God's hand at work in your life, and how can you give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and for his wonderful deeds? Father God, we thank you that you are a God of unfailing love, whose love endures forever. We pray that as your redeemed people, that we might tell our stories about how your hand has brought us from east and west, from north and south, into your presence in Christ Jesus. We thank you for all that you have given to us. We thank you for our salvation. We pray that we might be vessels of gratitude, that we might be able to speak of your many blessings to those around us, to tell our story that might spark those around us to tell their own story of redemption, to find themselves in Christ Jesus and his love. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.